I'm getting a little bit of feedback. We good? So, I'm a little bit loud, I think, maybe. So this morning, I'd like us to continue in our worship. Before I share what I believe the Lord has for me to share with you, I have asked a number of my friends to come up here and to read the Word of God over you. The most important thing that we can do this morning is to hear the words of our Lord. So it's going to be a little bit of a stretch, maybe. This is not something we typically do, but so it's going to take a little bit of discipline on our parts. But we're not going to have the words up on the screen. I really would love that you would grab your Bibles, grab your phones, that you would follow along with these words. And if my friends could kind of make their way up towards the front, and while they're making their way up here, I want you to prayerfully go through this and say, and ask the Lord to cleanse you and wash you with His Word. I want you to know a very important thing that we're doing here. And so we're going to be reading through the book of Ephesians this morning. So turn to Ephesians chapter 1, and we will read through this real quick. Let me pray over it as we do this. Father, You are who You say You are. You are King of kings, You're Lord of lords. Your word is quick and it's powerful. It's sharper than a two-edged sword, and it can pierce our hearts and change us. It is Your word that makes us follow You. It is Your word that gives us life. It is Your word that speaks to us. And so, Father, I ask this morning that You would use the reading of Your word to change us. Would You use it to bring us to Your Son? Thank You, Jesus, and it's in Your Son's name.
Ephesians 1. This letter is from Paul, chosen by the will of God to be an apostle of Christ Jesus. I am writing to God's holy people in Ephesus, who are faithful followers of Christ Jesus. May God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ give you grace and peace. All praise to God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly realms because we are united with Christ. Even before He made the world, God loved us and chose us in Christ to be holy and without fault in His eyes. God decided in advance to adopt us into His own family by bringing us to Himself through Christ, Jesus Christ. This is what He wanted to do, and it gave Him great pleasure. So we praise God for the glorious grace He has poured out on us who belong to His dear Son. He is so rich in kindness and grace that He purchased our freedom with the blood of His Son and forgave our sins. He has showered His kindness on us, along with all wisdom and understanding. God has now revealed to us His mysterious will regarding Christ, which is to fulfill His own good plan. And this is the plan. At the right time, He will bring everything together under the authority of Christ, everything in heaven and on earth. Furthermore, because we are united with Christ, we have received an inheritance from God, for He chose us in advance, and He makes everything work out according to His plan. God's purpose was that we Jews who were first to trust in Christ would bring praise and glory to God. And now, you Gentiles have also heard the truth and good news that God saves you. And when you believed in Christ, He identified you as His own by giving you the Holy Spirit, whom He promised long ago. The Spirit is God's guarantee that He will give us the inheritance He promised and that He has purchased us to be His own people. He did this so we would praise and glorify Him. Ever since I heard of your strong faith in the Lord Jesus and your love for God's people everywhere, I have not stopped thanking God for you. I pray for you constantly, asking God, the glorious Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, to give you spiritual wisdom and insight so that you might grow in your knowledge of God. I pray that your hearts will be flooded with light so that you can understand the confident hope he has given to those he called, his holy people who are rich and glorious inheritance. I also pray that you will understand the incredible greatness of God's power for us who believe in him. This is the same mighty power that raised Christ from the dead and seated him in the place of honor at God's right hand in the heavenly realms. Now he is far above any ruler or authority or power or leader or anything else, not only in this world, but also in the world to come. God has put all things under the authority of Christ and has made him head over all things for the benefit of the church. And the church is his body. It is made full and complete by Christ, who fills all things everywhere with himself.
And you were dead in the trespasses and sins in which you once walked, following the course of this world, following the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that is now at work in the sons of disobedience, among whom we all once lived in the passions of our flesh, carrying out the desires of the body and the mind, and were by nature children of wrath like the rest of mankind. But God, being rich in mercy, because of the great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in our trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved, and raised us up with him and seated us with him in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus, so that in the coming ages he might show the immeasurable riches of his grace and kindness toward us in Christ Jesus. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and this is not your own doing. It is the gift of God, not a result of works, so that no one may boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. Therefore, remember that at one time you Gentiles in the flesh, called the uncircumcision by what is called the circumcision, which is made in the flesh by hands. Remember that you were at that time separated from Christ, alienated from the commonwealth of Israel, and strangers to the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. But now in Christ Jesus, you who once were far off have been brought near by the blood of Christ. For he himself is our peace, who has made us both one and has broken down in his flesh the dividing wall of hostility, by abolishing the law of commandments expressed in ordinances, that he might create in himself one new man in place of the two, so making peace, and might reconcile us both to God in one body through the cross, thereby killing the hostility. And he came and preached peace to you who were far off, and peace to those who were near. For through him we both have access in one spirit to the Father. So then you are no longer strangers and aliens, but you are fellow citizens with the saints and members of the household of God, built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Christ Jesus himself being the cornerstone, in whom the whole structure, being joined together, grows into a holy temple in the Lord. In him you also are being built together into a dwelling place for God by the Spirit.
For this reason I, Paul, the prisoner of Christ Jesus for you Gentiles, if indeed you have heard the dispensation of the grace of God which was given to you, to me for you, how that by revelation he made known to me the mystery, as I have briefly written already, by which, when you read, you may understand the knowledge of the mystery of Christ, which in other ages was not made known of men, as it has now been revealed by the Holy Spirit to his holy apostles and prophets, that the Gentiles should be fellow heirs of the same body and partakers of his promise in Christ through the gospel, of which I became a minister, according to the gift of the grace of God given to me by the effective working of his power. To me, who am less than the least of all the saints, this grace was given, that I should preach among the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ, and to make all see what is the fellowship of the mystery, which from the beginning of the ages has been hidden in God who created all things through Jesus Christ, to the intent that now the manifold wisdom of God might be made known by the church to the principalities and powers in the heavenly places according to the eternal purpose which he accomplished in Christ Jesus our Lord. in whom we have boldness and access with confidence through faith in him. Therefore, I ask you, do not lose heart in all my tribulations for you, which is your glory. For this reason, I bow my knees to the Father, our Lord Jesus Christ, from whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that he would grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with might through his Spirit in the inner man, that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the width and length and depth and height, to know the love of Christ which passes knowledge, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. Now to him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that works in us, to him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus to all generations, forever and ever. Amen.
I, therefore, a prisoner for the Lord, urge you to walk in a manner worthy of the calling to which you have been called, with all humility and gentleness, with patience, bearing with one another in love, eager to maintain the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. There is one body and one Spirit, just as you were called to the one hope that belongs to your call, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is over all and through all and in all. But grace was given to each one of us according to the measure of Christ's gift. Therefore it says, when he ascended on high, he led a host of captives, and he gave gifts to men. In saying he ascended, what does it mean but that he had also descended into the lower regions, the earth? He who descended is the one who also ascended far above all the heavens that he might fill all things. And he gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the shepherds, and teachers to equip the saints for the work of ministry, for building up the body of Christ. Until we attain to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to mature manhood, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, so that we may no longer be children tossed to and fro by the waves and carried about by every wind of doctrine, by human cunning, by craftiness and deceitful schemes. Rather, by speaking the truth in love, we are to grow up in every way into him who is the head, into Christ, from whom the whole body, joined and held together by every joint with which it is equipped, when each part is working properly, making the body grow so that it builds itself up in love. Now this I say and testify in the Lord, that you must no longer walk as the Gentiles do in the futility of their minds. They are darkened in their understanding, alienated from the life of God because of the ignorance that is in them due to their hardness of heart. They have become callous and have given themselves up to sensuality, greedy to practice in every kind of impurity. But that is not the way you learned Christ, assuming that you have heard about him and were taught in him as the truth is in Jesus, to put off your old self, which belongs to your former manner of life and is corrupt through deceitful desires, and to be renewed in the spirit of your mind, to be yourself created after the likeness of God in true righteousness and holiness. Therefore, having put away falsehood, let each one of you speak the truth with his neighbor, for you are members one of another. Be angry and do not sin. Do not let the sun go down on your anger, and give no opportunity to the devil. Let the thief no longer steal, but rather let him labor, doing honest work with his own hands, so that he may have something to share with anyone in need. Let no corrupting talk come out of your mouths, but only such as good, building up as fits the occasion, that it may give grace to those who hear. And do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, by whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and slander be put away from you, along with all the malice. Be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, as God in Christ forgave you.
Therefore, be imitators of God as beloved children, and walk in love as Christ loved us and gave himself for us, a fragrant offering and sacrifice to God. But sexual immorality and all impurity or covetousness must not even be named among you, as is proper among saints. Let there be no filthiness, nor foolish talk, nor crude joking, which are out of place, but instead let there be thanksgiving. For you may be sure of this, that everyone who is sexually immoral or impure, or who is covetous, that is, an idolater, has no inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and God. Let no one deceive you with empty words, for because of these things the wrath of God comes upon the sons of disobedience. Therefore, do not become partners with them, for at one time you were darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Walk as children of light, for the fruit of light is found in all that is good and right and true, and try to discern what is pleasing to the Lord. Take no part in the unfruitful works of darkness, but instead expose them, for it is shameful to even to speak of the things they do in secret. But when anything is exposed by the light, it becomes visible, for anything that becomes visible is light. Therefore it says, "Awake, O sleeper, and arise from the dead, and Christ will shine on you." Look carefully then how you walk, not as unwise, but as wise, making the best use of the time, because the days are evil. Therefore do not be foolish, but understand what the will of the Lord is. And do not get drunk with wine, for that is debauchery, but be filled with the Spirit, addressing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody to the Lord with your heart, giving thanks always and for everything to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, submitting to one another out of reverence for Christ. Wives, submit to your own husbands as to the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, his body, and is himself its Savior. Now as the church submits to Christ, so also wives should submit to their husbands. Husbands, love your wives, as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her, that he might sanctify her, having cleansed her by the washing of water with the word, so that he might present the church to himself in splendor, without spot or wrinkle or any such thing, that she might be holy and without blemish. In the same way, husbands should love their wives as their own bodies. He who loves his wife loves himself. For no one ever hated his own flesh, but nourishes and cherishes it just as Christ does the church, because we are members of his body. Therefore, a man shall leave his father and mother and hold fast to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh. This mystery is profound, and I am saying that it refers to Christ and the church. However, let each one of you love his wife as himself, and let the wife see that she respects her husband.
Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with a promise, so that it may go well with you and that you may enjoy long life on the earth. Fathers, do not exasperate your children. Instead, bring them up in the training and instruction of the Lord. Slaves, obey your earthly masters with respect and fear and with sincerity of heart, just as you would obey Christ. Obey them not only to win their favor when their eye is on you, but as slaves of Christ, doing the will of God from your heart. Serve wholeheartedly, as if you were serving the Lord, not people, because you know that the Lord will reward each one for whatever good they do, whether they are slave or free. And masters, treat your slaves in the same way. Do not threaten them, since you know that he who is both their master and yours is in heaven, and there is no favoritism with him. Finally, be strong in the Lord and in his power. Put on the full armor of God so that you can take your stand against the devil's schemes. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. Therefore, put on the full armor of God so that when the day of evil comes, you may be able to stand your ground, and after you have done everything, to stand. Stand firm then, with the belt of truth buckled around your waist, with a breastplate of righteousness in place, and with your feet fitted with the readiness that comes from the gospel of peace. In addition to all this, take up the shield of faith, with which you can extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one. Take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, the word of God, and pray in the Spirit on all occasions, with all kinds of prayers and requests. With this in mind, be alert and always keep on praying for all the Lord's people. Pray also for me, that whenever I speak, words may be given me, so
that I will fearlessly make known the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in chains. Pray that I may declare it fearlessly as I should. Tychicus, my dear brother and faithful servant in the Lord, will tell you everything, so that you may know how I am and what I am doing. I am sending him to you for this very purpose, that you may know how we are, and that he may encourage you. Peace to our brothers and sisters, and love with faith from God the Father and Lord Jesus Christ. Grace to all who love Lord Jesus Christ with an undying love.
I'm going to lead us in a word of prayer, and just as we just heard it, we're going to pray in the Spirit, and that's what I'm asking the Lord to help me to do, to pray in the Spirit. Father, there's many things after we read a passage like this that we have heard. We've listened to you. We've heard you speak. We've heard you speak the word right off the page. But more than that is here right now. Your very presence is here. Your presence is in the Holy Spirit is here. We struggle with passages like this because there's great hope. There's also great demand. There's no one like Christ. There's no one like him. He's the only one that fulfilled all those things that he's asking us to do. He's fulfilled every single one of them. And without him, we can't do one of them. So, Father, we need your enablement here. We need your Spirit to change us inside out. You need to enable us to love our wives the way we should, to love each other the way we should. We can't do one of them. We're broken messes that struggle to get up in the morning and to meet you. Father, I just thank you that by your Spirit, you're doing a work in the youth in this country right now. It's wonderful to see it. Be a carrier of that fire. The fire of the Holy Spirit. I think we're afraid of him because we've been taught a lot of things. But he tells us that he will teach us all things. That's what he says in his word. He says he will teach us all things. And he will bring to remembrance the things that he has told us. So God, we flee to you. You are our only hope. And we worship you. We fall down and worship you. There's times when we sing praises and tears just flood my eyes. And I know you love us. And that's what we need. We need a tangible result of your Spirit working in us, a touching of you. You need to touch our bodies so that we know beyond any shadow of a doubt that we don't just read about you, but that you are here presently as a person. You are more alive than we are sitting here. But as a person, you are in this room with us right now. And we love you. I pray this in Jesus' name.
Amen.
It was good, wasn't it? The reading of God's word, washing us, cleansing us. It's been a very interesting week for me. And so in reading through Ephesians, I knew that for me it would encourage me to hear the Word of God read over and over and over again. But I'd like to take your attention to Ephesians chapter 3 real quick. And I want to share with you something that my mind continues to go back to. Ephesians chapter 3 verse 14. Paul here says, "For this reason I bow my knees before the Father, from whom every family in heaven and on earth is named." So the reason why Peter goes and bows and bends his knee and bows and gets on his knees before the Lord is because of the person in whom he is speaking to. He is the Creator, the Father, the Creator of every being. Every being that is out here, there is a God in heaven who has created us. And Paul goes, because of this reason, I bow my knees to you. He's in awe of who God is. It causes him to drop to his knees. Isn't that so true of us so many times when we come here and worship God? Do we realize who we are worshiping and praying and talking to? The creator of all things, the God of gods, the King of kings, the Lord of lords. So Paul says, I bow my knees in heaven and on earth, that, and he prays this, that according to his glory, he may grant you to be strengthened with power through his spirit in your inner being. So Paul sits there and he goes, I pray that according to the riches of God, he may grant you. So if you think about the glory of God, we know that the glory of God is huge, right? But according to the riches of his glory, somebody explained to me this morning what the riches of God's glory is. I don't know. I think it's beyond our comprehension of wealth, right? It's beyond our comprehension of rich. And he's sitting there saying, he's praying for these people and he's going, I pray that you grant to them this. Give them some of your glory. Give them something. I beg and I pray that you would give them the riches of your glory, to strengthen you with power through his spirit in your inner being. So he sits there and goes, I want to give you, I pray that that God will put himself inside of you. He wants to give you Jesus. And he sits there and says, I pray for the strength of the Holy Spirit, Spirit and in the inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. He prays to strengthen them with this inner strength so that he can bring his son and impart him into who you are. What's going on? Is he talking to non-believers here? No, in Ephesians 1, he's talking to those who have already accepted Jesus. He's talking to believers. He's talking to the church. So my mind goes to when I was a kid, I thought, well, wait a second, hasn't he already done this? Like, pray, ask Jesus to forgive you of your sins. He'll come in, right, your heart. Like, just pray this prayer and God's going to come in. Jesus will come into your heart. So hasn't he already done this? Well, this has already been taking place in these believers. But Paul's sitting there saying, I pray that according to the riches of his glory, he may grant you to be strengthened with power through his spirit in your inner being. For what purpose? So that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. Do you realize you can't just put Jesus into somebody? Do you realize that you and I ourselves, our bodies are not capable to hold the riches of God? So he's praying that there's this strengthening that takes place in you so that you can receive the Spirit of God. When you think about who he is and the magnitude of who he is, it's a miracle to think that he would come into your life, into your body. Doesn't that sound just weird? Doesn't that sound impossible? But Paul says, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, that you being grounded in love, may have strength to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth and length and height and depth, and to know the love of Christ that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled with the fullness of God. Christ is not someone that you visit on Sunday morning. So many times in my own life and in my own experiences, I deal with stuff that is symptomatic, where it's, okay, I don't want to yell at my kids anymore, so I try to be a better dad. So many people sit there and say, well, just stop drinking, stop gossiping, stop lying, stop sleeping around, stop looking at porn, stop doing this, stop doing this, stop doing this. It's all symptoms that we're trying to deal with. Sit there and say, get along with your wives, so we're going to go to counseling. Just learn how to love your wife better. It's all these symptoms that we're dealing with. And here Paul's not dealing with this. He sits there and says, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts. Brothers and sisters, do you understand that if Christ is dwelling in our hearts, to dwell in our hearts, you are not going to be dealing with these simple things or the problems any longer. If Christ is dwelling in my heart, can I sit there and have an issue with my wife? No. If Christ is dwelling, if the indwelling of the Spirit of God comes into me, can I have a problem with Matthew, my brother? No. But so many times we don't deal with the fact, and we're not praying for the fact that the Spirit of God will dwell us. We would rather deal with the different problems and try to, it's almost like going around and setting out all, you know, there's fires that are popping all over the place, and we're going out and just spraying and trying to stop all these little fires. He says this, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may have strength to comprehend with all the saints. And he goes on to talk about how the breadth, the length, the height, the depth, and to know the love of Christ that surpasses knowledge. Paul is on his knees begging that you would understand, that these people would understand the love of Christ, that it goes beyond knowledge. How do you know something that is beyond knowing? Seriously, folks, how do you know the love of Christ beyond knowing? Like, if it's beyond knowledge, how do you know something that's beyond knowing? Friends, I'm telling you, there are Bible scholars, there's preachers all across America that don't understand or don't know the love of God. It's not something that you can learn. It's not something that you can teach your kids. I mean, haven't we been taught this from the day we were born? Jesus loves the little children. Jesus loves me. Jesus loves even me. I mean, we've got hundreds of Bible songs as kids where we learned that Jesus loves us. What we learned was a knowledge that Jesus loves us. This book is not talking about that. This book is talking about a love of Christ that is beyond knowledge. You can't know it. It's beyond knowledge. So know the love of Christ that surpasses knowledge. For what reason? That you may be filled with the fullness of God. To be filled with the fullness of God. Somebody explain that to me. The fullness of God, so that we would be filled with the fullness of God. Someone who is filled with the fullness of God, God controls your feelings, your desires, your thoughts, your hopes, relationships, your words, your actions, your reactions, your calendar, your checkbook, your job, your home, your car, your stuff. When you are full, or when you're filled with the fullness of God, He controls everything. And some of you sit there and say, well, is that even possible? I struggle all the time. I keep sinning all the time. I keep going after the things of this world. I keep having problems with relationships. I keep struggling with my anger. I keep struggling with this. I'm not getting along with my spouse. I'm not getting along with my brother. There's things that are going on. This is not possible. And I'm sitting there going, folks, look at the next verse. Now to Him who is able to do more abundantly than all we ever ask, according to the power that is working within us, to Him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever and ever and ever. Amen. There is power in Jesus. It is available to you and to me. The New Testament writers, when they speak of God's love to the cross, and when they speak of God's power, they point to the resurrection. Get that, folks. When the New Testament writers, when you read the Word of God, when the New Testament writers speak of God's love, they always are pointing to the cross. And when they write and they speak of God's power, they were always, always pointing and referring to the resurrection. My friends, that is available to you and to me. Can you imagine? Believe it? That you and I have available to us the love of Jesus that surpasses all knowledge, and you have the power of God available to you that can raise from the dead. That power and love is living inside of us. So my dear friends, no longer do we need to be living without the fullness of God. There's no gimmicks that are going to work out there for you and for me. Get into the Word of God and pray. When was the last time you prayed that this would take place in your life? When was the last time you prayed that this would happen for your children? So many times I get caught up in the idea of, man, I just want my kids to be good, so I'm on them, and I'm putting rules and regulations on them, and I want them to do this, and I want them to do this, and I want them to look like this, and I want them to follow Jesus. So therefore, I'm going to put this and this and this and this, and I'm everything, I'm dealing with the symptoms. But I'll be honest with you, I cannot remember the last time, except for this week. Before this week, I cannot remember the last time that I prayed that my kids would be full of the fullness of God. Not worried about whether or not they have a tattoo, or whether or not they go and drink, or whether or not they go and do something stupid, but that they're actually full of the goodness of God. When we're full of the goodness of God, people, there's nothing that we need to worry about. Amen. When you're full of the goodness of God, there's nothing that can stop us. So this week, I debated whether or not I was going to share it all. I flew Will and myself, another pastor here in town, we flew up to Asbury University to go see what many of you have heard is going on. And I would love to share with you guys at another time the stories and the things that we saw and the things that took place there. But I will tell you that on the way there, we were talking about what we're going to experience, what we're going to see, and how can we bring that back to where we live. And we all came to simple conclusions, and that was this. We can't take it back. The Holy Spirit was alive and working there. We can't take it back. The only thing we can do is beg and plead and ask that the Holy Spirit come and reside here. It has nothing to do with you and me. If the Lord, if the Holy Spirit chooses to come and be here, that's His choice. Are you praying for it? Are you praying that God will fill you with the fullness of Him? That you will know His love that is beyond knowledge? That He will strengthen you to where you can actually just even receive Almighty into your body? This human body was not meant to be able to hold the Almighty God. We need for you to be strength to be able to even withstand it. Do you understand that even the glory of God, if we even look at it, it kills. We can't even see it. And we walk around, well, Jesus is in my life. He's in my heart. Really? Really? If Jesus is living inside of you and me, it is a crazy miracle. And the only way it's happening, He has chosen to strengthen you to be able to hold the goodness of God. As the worship team comes up, I'm ready to be done. I don't have, my words are not inspired. I pray and I hope that the reading of God's word for you this morning did something, that it penetrated your heart, that it penetrated something in His word, grabbed a hold of you, and you were able to say, man, God is good. There is nothing like Him. Otherwise, what we do here this morning, unfortunately, is for naught. It's a waste of time. Christ is not something to be, I'm going to get a little bit of it today and go the rest of your life. Christ is about something to be taking into and allowing that to bring glory to His name, to change the world. What if we had a body of believers here at Hope Chapel that were filled with the fullness of God? Think about it. Pray about it. Respond to it. Beg for the Lord to change us. As the music starts playing, let's just take a moment and ask God to work in our hearts and change us.